A maxim traded among Irish nationalists since the middle of the 19th century holds that England's crisis is Ireland's opportunity. As Brexit looms, this saying may have to be updated, along with Britain's long-treasured reputation for sensible governance and common-sense compromise. Brexit, substantially a tantrum by non-London England, as opposed to the United Kingdom's other constituent nations, looks not so much like Ireland's opportunity as also Ireland's crisis. Indeed, one of the few redeeming ironies of the entire Brexit fiasco has been the spectacle of Britain's quest for self-determination, at least as Brexiters prefer to see it, being thwarted by Ireland. The border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, therefore the border to be between the EU and the non-EU, is still the biggest obstacle Brexit has to overcome.
No matter what happens, no matter what kind of a future relationship that we have, that we never return to borders of the past.
Trouble along the border between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic.
This backstop, so this vitally important backstop.
Backstop.
The backstop.
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 Why do we need the backstop?
The wider effect of Brexit upon the Republic of Ireland depends to a large extent on what kind of Brexit occurs. And as we go to air, roughly 50 days until the UK is scheduled to leave the EU, nobody knows. And the kind of Brexit that occurs on March 29th, or whenever, is largely down to whether some agreement between the UK and the EU can be reached on precisely how the border between the UK and Ireland will operate after Brexit. As things stand, the UK government is suggesting alternative arrangements to the so-called backstop, which is at least in keeping with the entire Brexit ethos of being long on airy reassurance and short on practical detail. Should the Irish border issue prove intractable, the likeliest consequence is a no-deal Brexit. While this would likely be bad news for the UK, it might at least be argued that Britain would be lying in the rickety bed that it made for itself, having voted for Brexit in the first place. Ireland, however, did not vote for it. Indeed, recent polls put Irish support for EU membership at north of 85%. But this will not prevent Ireland collecting shrapnel from the UK's self-inflicted wound. The IMF predicts a 4% reduction in Ireland's economic output and the loss of perhaps 50,000 jobs. The Economic and Social Research Institute, an Irish think tank, estimates the average annual cost per household at €1,400 due to price rises. Around 80% of Ireland's exports go to or through the UK. 40% of Ireland's food imports and 55% of its fuel imports travel in the opposite direction. And 50-odd days out, nobody knows how this will work. Even a relatively soft Brexit, in which the UK leaves the EU under the terms of the deal agreed by UK Prime Minister Theresa May with the EU, though not as yet with the UK's Parliament, is bad news for Ireland. Irish companies will still need to reorganise their supply chains and adjust their administration. At the very least, it will be an immense and expensive hassle. But it is possible, not that this was ever what indifferent and/or ignorant Brexiters intended, that Brexit might offer Ireland some benefits. At least 30 companies have relocated at least some of their operations from the UK to Ireland, including, hilariously, Somerset Capital, the investment management firm partly owned by pro-Brexit cheerleader and Conservative MP Jacob Rees-Mogg. More may well follow. Another unintended consequence of Brexit has been, and will continue to be, an abrupt expansion of the Irish nation. Since the referendum in June 2016, tens of thousands of British citizens, anxious to maintain their rights as EU citizens, have brandished parental or grandparental birth certificates at the nearest Irish embassy. London's alone has issued more than 176,000 Irish passports since the vote.
I think one of the biggest challenges faced in our city in my lifetime is Brexit. How we make sure that even though we may be leaving the EU, we remain open to talent, to trade, open to people.
London voted Remain by nearly 60% to 40, and the Remain share climbs higher still if one's definition of London trims off a few grouchy outer boroughs. The idea that London might happily adjust to life as an outer suburb of Dublin is not, weirdly, anywhere near the top 10 silliest Brexit solutions which have been suggested these last few years. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.